watching. Amen. I want to hear the word of the Lord today, don't you? Did you come hungry to hear what the Lord would have to say in this place? Amen. I want my heart to be changed. I want to leave different. We're asking Brother Waldrop to come. We appreciate him and his anointing, the word, the work of God that he is doing. We're asking him to come and preach to us. Come, Brother Waldrop, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Brother Short. Praise the Lord, church. My, what a special touch of the Holy Ghost has been in this service since its inception. All the way through this service, there's been a very special anointing of God upon us. And God has a purpose for every one of us today. None of us that are here today are here by accident, but we're here by divine appointment. He's not a God of coincidence. He's a God of providence. God has a plan and a purpose. Amen. Let's lift our hands together again and let's just thank God for his goodness that he has expressed to us thus far in this service. We magnify your holy name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Go ahead and lift up your voice. Magnify the King.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Certainly appreciate everything that has been done thus far in the service, your effort that you have put into this. Certainly the challenge from Pastor Howard. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would much rather him be able to be here and do that in person. But we feel the anointing of it even over the phone call plugged into our sound system. Amen. I'm turning today, directing your attention to the book of Acts, the third chapter. Want to welcome everyone that is here today. We have many first-time guests, several repeat guests. And I do want to take time to welcome the newest member of our church. Maganya's welcomed another beautiful baby girl into their home. This is Elena Maganya. And a proud papa's holding her there. I want you to raise her up for those of us in here to feast our eyes upon. My, my, my. Thank God for another beautiful and healthy baby. And for the most part, Justin's been a pretty nice fella. But you mark my words, the older he gets and the older these daughters get, the more mean he's going to get. Just mark it down. Amen. I am reading today as our text one of my favorite text of Scripture in all the Word of God, because it encapsulates so much of the principles. And as Pastor Howard said, our church is going from talking to walking, from intending to doing. And this miracle that is recorded in the first portion of Acts chapter 3 is the church doing. The church being the church. I want to use this as a place to launch from today. And let's just obey the Holy Ghost together. Verse 1 of Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. You see, Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. Now, thus far in this story, it's business as usual. People are coming and going. People are entering and exiting. And there is a man laying at the gate of the temple. This gate was called Beautiful. And it is a beautiful place when you come into the presence of the Lord. It's a beautiful experience when you enter into the kingdom. So he's laying at the gate, just like he's always done for such a long time. And he's doing what he's been doing for a long time. He's asking alms of them that are entering into the temple. And as Peter and John were entering in, like they had done many times before, no doubt. They had saw this man many times before, no doubt. He had asked these same two men many times before, no doubt, for alms. He's begging for money. Everything up until this point has been just according to a previous pattern. Business as usual. Verse 4, Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he, the lame man, gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Something has changed. It's no longer business as usual. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to the lame man. The lame man's not lame anymore. Praise God. The man that was laying and begging is now walking and leaping and praising. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to mind the Holy Ghost today and preach from this familiar setting of Scripture a response from another realm of revival. Amen. Would you lift up your hands together all across this sanctuary? Would you call upon the powerful name of Jesus? Let's release our faith. Everyone in this house today, let's magnify the Lord together.
I worship your mighty name. I love you, Jesus. I worship your mighty name. My God, yes. We glorify the name of the Lord.
God, we're hungry for everything that you have for us in this place today. We're thankful for your mighty power that's on display. We glorify the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Open up your heart together. Let's take it a step further here in Jesus' name. We magnify your holy name, God. Thank you for grace upon us all today, God. Thank you for putting your word in my mouth. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to respond to your word and to your presence. Thank you, Lord, for confirming your word today with signs following. Thank you for pouring out the Holy Ghost. Thank you for filling people. Hallelujah. Thank you for filling many souls today with the power of your Spirit. Thank you for revival on this first Sunday of 2021. Somebody shout in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Lord bless you. Now we have read, obviously, from the Word of God today. The Word of God that is the revealing of God's purpose, God's plan, God's holy and divine intention. It is said of the word of God that the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. It's recorded in these scriptures that God has magnified his word above all his name. Jesus said in his earthly ministry, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. This is not just another book. This is not a collection of religious opinions. The word of God declares that prophecy of scripture is of no private interpretation. For holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is the word of the Lord. The word that is established forever. The word that God has given to his creation so that we might know how he feels about things and what God desires to do no matter what generation we're a part of. And so we understand the importance of a biblical pattern. We know again through the scriptures that he's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know through the words of the prophet that he is the Lord and he does not change. The Bible again declares with him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is consistent. How God felt about something, no matter how long ago it was, he still feels the same way. God does not change. What God has looked for, he's still looking for. What God has wanted, he still wants. What God has desired, he still desires. And so I want you to understand today, I am not preaching my opinion. I'm not preaching from just my personal perspective, but through the word of God today, I want you to understand there is a scriptural precedent. There is something by which God has made known and revealed to us. This is how promotion and progression in the kingdom happens. If that does not pique your interest, I feel sorry for you. Amen. Anybody in their spiritual right mind wants more of God, wants the fullness of relationship with God. Amen. Not satisfied, thankful, yes. Appreciative, absolutely. But I'm not satisfied with where I am. Amen. As a matter of fact, I appreciate so much what God has done. I want more of it. And so, through searching the scriptures, we soon understand that these things in God's kingdom come through the submission. Somebody shout submission. That is a very powerful word, but not a very popular word. But promotion and the progression of God's kingdom comes through submitting your will to God's will. Nobody wants his kingdom to come more than the king. Nobody wants his will performed more than God himself. But these things come to pass when humanity submits their will to God's will. That submission I'm preaching about this afternoon reveals opportunities that are the key to a greater opportunity in God. Opportunities that require a proper response to fully experience. Now, let's go back. Let's look at some patriarchs and see the biblical pattern. I don't want to take too much time, but I want you to understand that I'm standing on very firm footing right now. Abraham, who's called the father of the faithful, is a living example through the scriptures of what I'm preaching about. As a matter of fact, the reason why there's even an Abraham is proof positive of the power of submission to the will of God that reveals opportunities that when properly responded to opens a door for a greater experience in God. Abraham, come out from the land of Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham, separate yourself from that which you're comfortable with. Abraham, or really then Abram, get out of your comfort zone. Amen. God was telling a man, amen, without a child, he's going to become the father of many nations. These things, we look back now and everything that God promised to Abram, amen, come to pass just like God said it would. But it wasn't just because God wanted it. It's because Abram submitted his will to God's will. And that submission, amen, opened up an opportunity that gave God an opportunity to reveal more of his kingdom to that man. Let's talk about Moses. Amen. The Bible said that he said, I'll turn aside and see this bush. Why is it burning and not being consumed? It was just a natural curiosity. A bush that's burning and the leaves are still green. Bush that's burning and it's not being consumed. That would get anybody's attention. Man, what kind of wood is this? I want to find out what kind of wood this is. Because, man, once you get this on fire, it just never goes out. Just a natural curiosity. But as he approached that burning bush, he realized it's not just another bush. The voice of God speaks out and says, Moses, take your shoes off. A sign of submission and humility. For the ground whereupon you stand is holy. I've got a work for you to do. Now we know that Moses initially kind of balked at God's proposal. But the end of the story is, I'll do what you've asked me to do. I'll go where you asked me to go. I'll be the best I can be for you. And it's one experience after another, after another, after another. When a man submits his will to God's will, and that submission opens up an opportunity. Even you don't have to take God up on it if you don't want to. But when you do, you're never disappointed. You never regret a proper response to a spiritual opportunity. Amen. There's too many examples in scripture for me to cover them all. But again, it's the biblical pattern. Amen. The fathers of the faith, the patriarchs of old, those wrote about in Hebrews 11. Let's simplify their lives and condense it down to submission and response. Submission to the will of God. And when God says, because you've submitted yourself to me, I'm going to give you this opportunity. Amen. Somebody shout in Jesus' name. We could talk about the prophet Elijah. Submission and response. We could talk about his successor, Elisha. Submission and response. We could talk about the prophet Ezekiel. The Bible said later in his prophetic book, afterward he brought me again to the door of the house. Submission. Following the leading of God. A place I've been to countless times. Looks like God wants me to go to his house another time. But it's not just another trip to the house. This time there's waters issuing out from under the threshold. Amen. This water is flowing by the altar and out of the house and toward the eastern horizon. Amen. Amen. There's an angel there to guide him and to help him in this experience. But the first thing that the prophet has to do is submit to heaven's leadership. He measured out 1,000 cubits. Amen. Ezekiel didn't have to respond. He didn't have to take God up on this. He could have said, I've seen enough. I get the point. I know what you're trying to say. And have never really gotten the fullness of that experience until he submitted and followed heaven's guidance. Amen. Allowed heaven, if you please, to take him by the hand and lead him through the waters and to measure out again and to lead him back through and to measure out again and to lead him back through and to measure out again. And the prophet said, now what was to the ankles is now a river that cannot be crossed over. Amen. It's an experience and an opportunity with God that if I get in it, I'll never recover from it. My life will never be the same again after today. Let's lift our hands and praise the Lord right now. Oh, I magnify your name. Oh, I glorify your mighty name. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I'm preaching to more than probably I even realize I am today. God has that kind of an experience for you today. Amen. Where you look back on the calendar. Amen. And January the 3rd, 2021, I was never the same after that day. Something happened on the first Sunday of 2021 at Tulsa Lighthouse Church, and I've never been the same again. It's like David of old, where the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in the midst of his brethren. Amen. The power of God rested upon him from that day forward because of submission and response. God opened a door of anointing for somebody to be involved in his kingdom. And that's our heartbeat today. We don't want to just be in it. We want to be involved in it. We just don't want to possess it. We want to share it. We want to do something with what has happened to us. Now, there's nothing wrong with the church before Acts chapter 3. The church is still very young. I find nothing negative. I find no negative characteristics. As a matter of fact, let me read from Acts chapter 2. We know the Holy Ghost is poured out in the early part of chapter 2 of Acts. And they knew that it was something different because these folks were talking in a language that they had never learned. It was not a language that they had been coached to speak. They were not repeating after someone else. The Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance or the ability to speak. Let me tell you that when you receive the Holy Ghost, according to the scriptures, it'll be more than a warm, fuzzy feeling. It'll be more than an emotional high, but you will speak with other tongues, just like they did in the Bible. Same God, same name, same blood, same church, same plan, same message, same gospel. Amen. And what they saw happening got their attention, and Peter started preaching Jesus to them. And the Bible said in verse 37 of Acts 2, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we do? My God, have mercy. What do we do about what Jesus has done? Peter said, I'll answer your question. Repent, Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you. No exceptions. Rich, poor, young, old, educated, ignorant, religious, doesn't matter. Everyone must repent. Everyone must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Most churches in Tulsa don't baptize in Jesus' name. They baptize in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And they take you to Matthew and say, this is the baptismal formula spoken by Jesus Christ. Amen. The baptismal formula spoken by Jesus Christ was not baptism in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. Amen. The Father's name is Jesus. The Son's name is Jesus. The name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. He didn't say baptize in names, plural, titles, plural, personalities, plural. That one God of Israel who declared his oneness all the way back in Deuteronomy, that one God has one name. Baptize them in the name. Somebody shout the name of Jesus. You could be seated. Peter said, I'm going to tell you what to do. Do what Jesus said to do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. No exceptions. For the promise is unto you and to your children. And to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Salvation is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's through repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you've not obeyed the gospel, you need to obey the gospel today. If you've not repented of your sins, you need to repent of your sins today. If you've not been baptized in Jesus' name, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've not received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you need to receive the gift of the... Brother Short quoted it. This is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Notice what happened. Acts 2 and 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Those that believed the gospel obeyed the gospel. I don't want to take too much time here, but they didn't go home and say, what do you think about that preacher said? I've never heard anything like that before. You know, I wasn't raised that way. My grandma didn't do it that way. No, those that heard the message and received it, the evidence of their reception of truth was obedience to the truth. Amen. It takes more to be a believer than to call yourself a believer. The Bible said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Amen. Why are you baptized? Because I really believe the gospel. I don't just nod my head and say amen. I don't just call myself a Christian, call myself a believer. But I heard the message. I heard about Jesus. I heard about one God that come as a man into the world to provide salvation for his creation. I heard about a cross on a hill called Calvary, and how that one God become a man, bled and died and rose again, and rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Woo! Oh, let's clap our hands and magnify the Lord. The Holy Ghost is trying to help here and now. Don't just find you a church to go to. Amen. Believe and be baptized and receive the Holy Ghost. Don't just accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Obey the gospel and experience real salvation. If you'd ask me last night when my head hit the pillow what I'd be preaching on, it wouldn't be this. But I know I'm in the will of God right now. Amen. Isaiah said in the 6th chapter of his prophecy, he's talking about Jehovah. He said, he's my strength and he's my song. And he is become my salvation. My God is become my salvation. I'm going to tell you, God wants to be more for you than he's ever been before. He may have been your strength, and he may have been your song, and he may still be, but if he has not become your salvation, God's not done. Thank God for strength. Thank God for a song. But it's not about strength, and it's not about songs. It's about salvation. Amen. Mary and Joseph, you have no option. Amen. The angel declared, you shall call his name Jesus. It's because it's not about a strength and it's not about a song. It's about salvation. And Jesus is interpreted Jehovah Savior. Amen. The Almighty Eternal God of Glory come as a man into the world to provide salvation. Luke 24 declares, thus is Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. That repentance, come on, these are red letters in your Bible. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. And you are witness of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, and tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Red letters. Repentance. Remission of sins. Promise. Acts chapter 2. Repentance. Remission of sins. Promise. Have you obeyed the gospel? Well, I shook a preacher's hand. I signed a church card. I repeated a sinner's prayer. Congratulations, but you're not saved. According to this book, that doesn't save you. Now, according to your feelings, it helps you. According to your conscience, it soothes you. But according to the scriptures, it doesn't save you. You're a sinner that feels better about yourself, but you're still lost. And I'm fixing to get way unpopular right now. Amen. But you don't want to be lost. Amen. When time has ended. And no man knows that time. Nobody but God knows when he's coming back for the church. And nobody but God knows when. If he tarries his coming long enough, you'll draw your last breath. I'm telling you, you don't want to go into eternity without obeying the gospel. Amen. You don't want to be condemned to eternity in hell. Not because God's mean, but because he's a God of his word. Not because God is unjust, but because he's a just and holy God. And he's given us a plan. If you want to be saved, then experience the salvation plan. If you want to go to heaven, then come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. It's not about have you received Jesus. It's has Jesus received you. The Bible says this, not my opinion. The Bible, your Bible declares that they that have not the Spirit of Christ are none of his. You've accepted him, but you don't belong to him. You've confessed him, but you don't belong to him because you haven't obeyed him. If you love me, what did he say? Keep my commandments. And his commandments, the Bible declares, are not grievous. If you want your sins forgiven, then just repent. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Repent. God, I'm sorry for my sin. Lord, I realize I've done some stupid things. Come on, it's not just words I'm singing. You don't have to memorize the words I'm using right now and getting this altar and say, I hope I can remember everything. No, just open up your heart and start talking. God, I've done some things that I'm ashamed of. I realize I've walked in disobedience. I've not done right by the word of God. I want you to forgive me. I want you to cleanse me, wash me with your blood. Lord, forgive me. And the Bible says all it takes to get forgiveness is to repent. Ask and you shall receive. We'll teach you a Bible study about being baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. But after you repent, amen, you'll start feeling even more of God's presence because you're forgiven. The sin that was blocking the Spirit of God from you has been shoved out the way. It's been forgiven. Hasn't been remitted, it's been forgiven. It still needs to be washed away. But I'm telling you, before you walk out these doors today, you can walk out of these church doors talking in tongues full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because when you begin to feel his, guess what? It's what they felt in Acts chapter 2 when the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all in one accord. Why were they there? Submission and response. Why are you here today? Submission and response. How can you get more of God? Submission and response. And I'm preaching about a response today from another realm of revival. A place you've never been. Something you've never felt. An experience you've never had. Even comes when you submit yourself to the word of God. And when you feel his presence, respond to it. Don't be afraid of God's presence, but respond, submit, and yield. It won't be somebody whispering in your ear. Oh, you'll probably hear some folks talking in tongues all around you, because that's what we do when the Holy Ghost starts moving. We respond because we still want more. I can never have too much Holy Ghost. But you'll begin to hear and feel things in your heart and in your mind. And it doesn't make a lick of sense to you. But it's God influencing your emotions and your feelings. And submit to that. And just open up and begin to speak out what you feel. You know what will happen? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now how many in this room today have experienced what I'm preaching about? Lift up your hand high. I submitted and responded. And I experienced salvation. I submitted and responded, and Jehovah is become my salvation. My Creator became my Savior. Let's lift our hands all across this place right now. I love you, Jesus. I worship your holy name. I magnify your name. I glorify your mighty name. I glorify your holy name, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Musicians and singers, please come. They that gladly received his word were baptized. Notice, and the same day they were added unto the church about 3,000 souls. Brothers and sisters, that's a pretty good revival. It's hard for us to comprehend a 3,000 soul revival, especially in one day. But do you understand today, in the greater Tulsa metro, there's some 1 million souls. And a 3,000 soul revival doesn't even scratch the surface on reaching 1 million. I'm not trying to be depressing today. I'm just telling you, God knows his business. And it's the will of God for far more than 3,000 in Tulsa to experience Bible salvation. The Bible said later in Acts 2 that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking in bread and prayers. Fear came upon every soul. Wonders and signs were done by the apostles. All that believed were together. They had all things common. They sold possessions and goods, parted to every man as they had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Notice, and the Lord added to the church daily. There's nothing wrong with the early church. 3,000 souls in one day. The Lord adding to the church daily. Miracles and wonders and signs being done. It's not a weak church. It's not an anemic church. It's not a frail church. It's a revival church. I submit to you, there's nothing wrong with the history of Tulsa Lighthouse Church. It's a miracle church. It's a revival church. Amen. It's a spiritual church. Yet God said, I know you're having revival. My God, have mercy. I know you're seeing folks receive the Holy Ghost. I know you're seeing the gifts of the Spirit operate. I know you're seeing prophecies fulfilled. I know you're seeing miracles and signs and wonders. But I've got even more than what you've got right now. There's another realm, early church. There's another realm of revival. It's even greater. And it all started with a response. An opportunity to share Jesus. We preach this. I've preached it till the cows come home. Jonathan and Kalen, as children, could just about quote the first several verses of Acts 3 and Acts 12 too, for that matter, because their evangelist daddy preached a lot from Acts 3 and Acts 12. I'm preaching from it again today. And most of the time when it's preached, it's all about the response of the lame man. That's how he got his miracle. But I submit to you, before the lame man's response, there was a preacher's response to an opportunity. He could have walked on by Brother Short like he had so many times, but they stopped and responded to opportunity. Look on us. Amen. I've got something for you. Come on, I'm asking somebody to give me your attention. I've got something you need to hear. I've got a name that can change your world. I've got a God that can bring life and peace to your troubled soul. It doesn't matter your station or status of life. It doesn't matter your address or whether or not you even have one. What matters is Jesus Christ came to seek and save that which was lost.
And Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Holy Ghost, which would be given when Jesus would be ascended and resurrected on high. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house right now. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. There's still power in the name of Jesus. The man got a miracle and went into the temple, a changed individual, walking and leaping and praising God, and everybody saw him and they knew that's the lame man. Well, that got everybody's attention. Stand with me. What's going on here? As the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's porch, greatly wondering. It's a lot like the day of Pentecost. Now, instead of on the steps of the upper room or in the street that run by, now it's on the steps of the temple. On the front doorsteps of the temple. And when Peter saw the crowd, he answered, "You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk?" Let me tell you how this happened. His name, Jesus' name, through faith in his name hath made this man strong. And he commenced to preach in another gospel message. He commenced to preach in Jesus to them again. And he said in Acts 3:19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." It's along those lines that Acts chapter 3 ends. Acts chapter 4. "And as they spake unto the people, the priest, captain of the temple, the Sadducees, came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold. Howbeit..." A response from another realm of revival. 3,000 daily miracles, signs, wonders. But because of submission and response, and a response from another realm, nothing wrong with what we've got, but there's something wrong with us if God offers more and we don't respond to it. "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. More than on the day of Pentecost, because there was a response. A response that generated another realm of revival. I'm telling you, I can get giddy in the Holy Ghost when I think about what we're at the door of right now. Even what can happen before we leave this place today. My God, there's no telling what the Lord's about to do if we'll submit and respond. Would you lift your hands right now? I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel Holy Ghost assurance. Let's mind the Spirit of God, church. I love you, Jesus. I worship your name. Let's pray, church. Conviction's trying to step into this sanctuary right now. The wooing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Come on, call his name in faith. This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Come when we sang the song earlier. I don't remember and know all the words off the cuff. Amen. But my spirit was arrested when we begin to sing, I've waited for this moment to come and I won't let it pass me by. Response from another realm of revival. Some of you have been waiting on something and you didn't even know what you were waiting on. But I challenge you, don't let it pass you by. Look on us. And he gave heed unto them expecting to receive. And he heard them say, I don't have what you're looking for, but I've got what you need. I don't have silver and gold, but I've got the name of the Almighty God of glory that can bring healing to your body, that can bring salvation to your soul. There's a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's call upon the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I feel miracles. I feel revelation. I feel salvation. I feel conviction. I feel the kind of touch of God that says it doesn't matter who they are, and it doesn't matter where they are, and it doesn't matter what they need. I've got it. And you've been waiting for an opportunity, and the opportunity has come. I challenge you in Jesus' name, don't let this pass you by. When you feel his presence, respond to it. If that's your case today, I need a miracle. I need direction. I need deliverance. I need salvation. Doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It means you're like me. I need something from God today. I'm the first one in this altar. I'm asking those of you that feel that opportunity, why don't you respond to it as they begin to play and sing about an opportunity and about what you've been waiting for coming to pass and not letting it pass by. Come on, keep responding. That's it. Keep responding. Come on, there's room in this altar for you.